Well, please turn in your Bibles to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, our reading, or our text for consideration today will be verses 25 through 30, but I'd like to begin our reading in verse 1 before we open God's word together. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we open your precious word now as your people. And we ask that you would lead us and guide us through the ministry of your Spirit as we consider these words that came from the lips of the one who cried out from the cross, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" As we open your word now, Lord, we pray that you would, by your Spirit, open our hearts and our ears and our minds, that we would behold the Son of God in his precious, majestic glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. When Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John heard in prison, that is John the Baptist, heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples, and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I say to you, among those born of women there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their playmates, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is justified by her deeds. Then he began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you that it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Amen. May God bless to us the reading, hearing, and preaching of his word today. As we all rang in the new year this past week, most, if not all of us, heard various phrases, I'm sure, along these lines. 2020, a year like no other. 2020, a year like no other. And of course, topping the list of what made 2020 a year like no other was the COVID-19 global pandemic. And the fallout of this crisis, which is still not behind us as we speak, has been devastating. Travel has been drastically restricted. Families have been prevented from spending the holidays together. Loved ones have lost their lives to COVID-19. Childcare and education have all been impacted. Businesses have had to shut down. Jobs have been lost. Payments have not gone through. The list can go on. The list can go on. And it's really no big surprise, friends, that when 46,000 Canadians were surveyed by a wing of Stats Canada this past spring, 88% of those 46,000 Canadians admitted to having experienced some form of anxiety in the 2 weeks leading up to the survey. I'll give you a few more of the numbers from that survey. 71% admitted to feeling nervous, anxious, or on edge. Maybe that's been you lately. 69% admitted to being easily annoyed or irritable. 64% said they had trouble relaxing. An anxious restlessness is unfolding and settling in around us. It may have taken hold of your own heart this past year. And don't the words of Jesus here open before us today speak so fittingly, so winsomely, so powerfully into our present time of unsettled restlessness? Indeed, these words that are open before us today have penetrated countless hearts in every generation. Every generation going back to the time they were uttered by Jesus himself over 2,000 years ago. These precious words of Jesus that we've considered, verses 25 through 30, fall fresh upon every generation. Why? Because these words of Jesus speak into the fundamental need of every generation. Soul rest. No matter what culture, era, age, or generation we live in, we all need soul rest. Our generation has COVID-19, among several other things. Others have had the Spanish flu. Still others have had the Black Death. Others have lived through the world wars. These are just examples. While the circumstances differ from one generation to the next, the underlying problem is always the same: sin and its consequences. Sin around us in this fallen world. Sin in those around us in this fallen world. Sin within us as fallen image bearers of God. Why we're restless. In the ultimate sense of the term. And the Son of God extends an open and personal invitation to all who are restless in themselves and in this broken world, an invitation to come and receive from him the rest their souls are longing for. Oh, what an invitation. What an invitation. Are you restless today? Listen to Jesus' words. Come to me. Come to me. We're going to consider these words. We're going to consider this invitation of Jesus in three parts. The one who invites, the ones who are invited, and the rest that is promised. The one who invites, the ones who are invited, and the rest that is promised. Well, first, let's consider the one who invites, the one who extends this open and personal invitation to the restless to come and receive soul rest from him. We must see that the one who invites is utterly unique. He is the eternal second person of the Holy Trinity. Clothed in human flesh, he is the God-man. Verse 27, all things, says Jesus, have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. He is the God-man, utterly unique. We read in Colossians, that he, that is the Son, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created. All things were created, says Paul, through him and for him, and in him all things hold together. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. It's Colossians 1, 15 through 19. Utterly unique. Can those words be said about any of us here today? For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Can that be said of anyone else you know? Can that be said of your favorite celebrity? Can that be said of LeBron James, Wayne Gretzky, fill in the blank, pro athlete of your choice? Can that be said of anyone else in this world? Absolutely not. But it can be said of the one who issues this invitation. And if anyone ever came to you and said, come to me for soul rest, you'd have to tell them they're out of their mind. Because they are. They're not qualified to give your soul the rest that it longs for. But Jesus is qualified to extend this precious invitation because Jesus alone can deliver on its promise of rest. He is the utterly unique God-man. He understands the human condition as it lies under the curse of sin, and he himself is the answer to fallen and sinful humanity's greatest need, which is deliverance from sin. He is utterly unique, and he is therefore qualified to invite you to find your soul rest in him. But Jesus is utterly unique in another way. And he won't allow us to overlook that. What does he say in verse 29? Take my yoke upon you, says Jesus, and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. I am gentle and lowly in heart, says Jesus. Did you know that in all four gospel accounts, the actual heart of Jesus is only spoken of once, and it's here in Matthew 11. And it comes from the lips of Jesus himself. This is who he is, his heart. This is what drives him. This is what gets him out of bed in the morning, we could say. This is what animates him. This is what Jesus cannot divest himself of. Gentleness and lowliness, that's who he is. That's my heart, says Jesus. I can't not be gentle and lowly as I deal with sinners. I can't turn it off. Gentle and lowly, what do these words mean? He is gentle, he is meek, he is humble, he is understanding, he is accepting, he is not harsh, he is not critical, he is not impatient, he is unlike you and I, he is utterly unique. He's gentle, but there's more, he is lowly, he says, I am lowly in heart. You know, Jesus is the most accessible and approachable person you will ever meet, no matter what you think of him. In the day of salvation, that is. You see that in the Gospels. No more approachable or accessible person than the Son of God. He's never too busy for you. He's ready to respond to your emails and to your texts as soon as he sees them in his inbox. He doesn't put you off. He would never unfriend you on Facebook if he used it. It's who he is. He's approachable. He's accessible. Is that how you view Jesus? We too often make Jesus in our own image, don't we? Even as Christians. We can view Jesus as a harsh taskmaster that turns his nose up every time we miss our morning devotions or every time we don't pray as we should. We can see Jesus as a Savior who merely tolerates us with our sin. But that's not our Savior. Jesus delights in showing his people mercy. And we have to come to Jesus and receive Jesus on his own terms, don't we? This is who I am, says Jesus. I am gentle and lowly in heart. I think we often, too often, see Jesus as the one pointing his finger, the one with the pointed finger at us. And he's actually the one with the arms wide open, waiting for us to come to him and cast ourselves upon him for mercy. He's utterly unique. On the second place, let's consider the ones who are invited. The ones who are invited to come and find soul rest in Jesus. Who exactly does Jesus, the utterly unique one, extend this tender, gracious invitation to? Who is he extending this invitation? It is to those who are utterly used up. Like that beat up old Chevy that's running on half its cylinders with mere fumes in the gas tank, just chugging along. Ready to call it quits. He says to that person, come to me. All who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take a minute with me, please, and consider who are those standing around Jesus as he utters these words, in particular those that Jesus very likely is locking eyes with as he speaks and extends this invitation. They are poor, needy, unclean, unlovable, unsettled, used up sinners, aren't they? Just like you and I. Those wearing themselves out under the impossibly high standards of the legalistic Pharisees. Those who are ready to see Jesus with a pointed finger rather than with open arms. Those are the ones Jesus is gazing upon here as he extends this invitation of soul rest. What's the qualification? Brokenness, sinfulness. Know your need. Come to him. This invitation is for those who know they don't measure up. Not those who know they've got it all together. Not those who believe they can somehow impress Jesus and those around them. Those who know that they are broken, weary, and restless sinners. That's who Jesus invites to come to. Jesus says to them, come to me just as you are. Just as you are, don't worry about cleaning yourself up. You can't do it anyway. I have to do it for you. I have to do it for you, says Jesus. Just come as you are, says Jesus, with all your sins and your failures and your broken resolutions and your feelings of guilt and your burdens, and I will give you rest. And is there anyone today, friends, that does not qualify to come to Jesus for rest? In other words, is this an outdated invitation? Is the world no longer inhabited by those who labor and are heavy laden under the burden of sin? Of course it is. They're all around us. They're in here today. And the invitation still stands. It was spoken 2,000 years ago by the Son of God himself. This invitation still stands. As long as you're breathing in this world, this is a standing invitation, but don't put it off. Don't put it off. Because you don't know when that last breath of yours will be. And when you've taken it, that's it. No second chance. So come to Jesus now. Come to Jesus now. So secondly, the ones who are invited are the poor, needy, unclean, unworthy, unlovable, unsettled, used up sinners. Sinners whom Jesus delights in showing mercy to. Well, finally, and more briefly, let's consider in the third and last place the rest that is promised. The rest that is promised for sinners who come to Jesus. It is a soul rest, as we've heard and considered. Verse 29, you will find rest for your souls. It is a rest in the deepest part of your being. Why is that? Because it is a rest that flows out of a restored relationship with your Creator God. That original relationship between God and his image bearers was shattered when Adam sinned in the garden, and as his descendants, we are all born into this world as God's enemies. Think about that for a moment. Being God's enemy. Being an enemy of your Creator. That's what sin has done. That's why we're so restless in the deepest part of our being. You know, we can hide it pretty well from others at times in our lives, but it still remains. As long as that relationship with God remains broken, you remain restless. And there's nothing you can do about it apart from coming to him who says, I will give that rest to you. Augustine's words of 1,500 or so years ago ring no less true for us today when he says, you have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. You need a restored relationship with your Creator if you are to have true soul rest. And Jesus is offering it to you here through himself. What an invitation. Coming back to Colossians 1 and reading on verses 19 through 23, we stopped at verse 19, but I want to read on from verse 19 and close with these words from the Apostle Paul as we prepare to come to the table. The Apostle Paul writes these words, for in him, that is the Son, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven. And oh, what a gospel that is. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And if you've come to Jesus for salvation, don't stop coming back to Jesus. Come back to Jesus every day, every hour of every day. As often as you have to, come to him. Come to him when you're restless. He'll give you that rest. It's yours in him. That you'll experience the blessings of it as you walk in rich and intimate fellowship with him. So come back to him. Come back to him. Come back to him. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, says Jesus, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are weak, needy, poor, spent, weary, unclean sinners in ourselves. Yet you have offered to clothe us in the beautiful robes of righteousness in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray that we would truly appreciate the blessedness of belonging to Jesus and walking with Jesus and living in and for Jesus. And if there is anyone here today, Lord, who has not yet come, Lord, oh, would you move them? How could you move them from words alone, at least, any more than these words that came off the lips of the Lord Jesus 2,000 years ago? Lord, would you accompany that invitation in their ears with the power of your Spirit that they would come? That they would come and find that rest. In Jesus' name, amen.